living soul, the last Adam was a quickening spirit. The last Adam was Jesus. And he came to show us how Adam should have handled the thing, all right? Now, let me say this to you now. Watch this now. It took 7 days to create the whole world. You know that in the book of Genesis, right? It took 33 years to create you. As a born-again Christian, it took 33 years. It took 30 years of him showing us how divinity and humanity can work and function and operate in the supernatural. When he spent those 30 years, and he had to come through the stages as a boy, adolescent, youth, whatever, you know, up down this level and become a man, to show us that it worked at all levels of life. And then at the age of 33, he died, okay. So now he's on a journey. God is on a journey. God is in Christ. God in Christ and the Holy Spirit is one. I want you to know this. He's on a journey. In the incarnation now, the crucifixion. Well, the incarnation, then his life as God in the flesh, as a man who laid aside his divinity and operated like we operate in the spirit. Trust the Holy Ghost. So you got that 33 years there. So you're on his journey. Crucifixion. What happened there? That's the reason he had to become flesh, to die for our sins in the flesh. So they crucified him. All right. Then there's the grave, Hades, and death. Hades is where he went to get Abraham them from the grave. And then there's the resurrection. Is it still there? He's on a journey to your spirit. See, if you don't understand this, you're not gonna be able to handle it. You're not gonna be able to operate in a spiritual thing. That's why, because I talked to some men, I asked them what the incarnation was, and neither one of them knew. I said, my God. And I knew we were going to be 85 to 90% here didn't know it. The incarnation is God becoming man. You got the scripture. You read the first verse of John, and in the beginning was the Word with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, you see it capitalized in verse 14. Capitalized, that's Jesus. And the Word became flesh, but it's actually God himself becoming flesh. Now, the resurrection, Easter took this, smothered it out. The resurrection is when Jesus defied death, defied hell, defied the grave, defied the devil, defied any type of bondage and got up anyway. That's the resurrection. He spent 40 days talking to him about it, you know, reassuring him that he showed him his hand, the holes in his hand, the holes in his side. And then they were talking with him one day, and he gravitated. He just started taking off. Oh, where would you to run? He just started going up. He just started going up. Now, that's false gravitation today from demonical powers. Now, the man I see on TV, he levitates some. That's demon power. That can happen, but it's not the real power. Satan always trying to copycat God. Yeah, unless the civil war kicked him down. The Lord told him, kick him down. He kicked him down. He came down. It was over. But he gravitated. And now, so the ascension is the next. He's on the journey. He's already now. He hasn't hit your spirit yet. He ascended. Then when he ascended, he got back where the Father was. Not a Father, it's three persons in one. The Father divided himself like that in order to get his mission accomplished. So Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father as a mediator, as an intercessor, as a lawyer. He's on the right hand of the Father. But then, my friend, when he made the tag with the Holy Spirit, yes, sir, and he sent the Holy Spirit back, then the journey to our spirit has been concluded. Now we can believe God because of what he did and become born again, and we are, most of us here, we are. But it was a journey to our spirit. I want you to know about the incarnation, how the journey took place. 33 and a half years he lived as a man and God to show us how to work, show us how to walk on water, show us about provision, show us how to handle sickness and disease. In the supernatural, the church should still have that because the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head, so he really want to operate the same way he operated those 33 and a half years. But what happened, a whole lot of junk came in. Tradition, manpower, man want glory, and all kind of stuff happened, And it's been happening, Eli, for hundreds of years. So you got a lot of crust there you got to break through. And the church, so the church suffer living normal when she's supposed to be living supernatural. Amen. And so you see what I'm doing, you see all this change that I'm making, I'm peeling at it because I know it's there. Amen. And so now I want you to know what the incarnation is and the journey the Lord took. Did everybody understand that? Yes. Now, if I ever ask you what the incarnation, I know y'all see all your faces, I know everybody here. You need to know what the incarnation is. When God became man, see, Jesus actually is God. And God took him on flesh because it's the only way he could redeem us. And now the only way God can come here and do anything now, one of us got to give him permission. You see how when the Bible talks about if, it's talking about conditions. If we meet the condition and we, as ambassadors for Christ, as priests, we are priests, we have a kingly status, all of that was smothered out with religion. And now when you talk about being a king, talking about being a priest, talking about being a royal priesthood now, you're called. Because they don't understand the depth of the Bible. The Lord didn't play it. The Lord didn't have to do this thing. You understand? And why Christians are so slack? This church should be just as full tonight as it was Sunday. But it's a tradition, religious spirit that have got a hold of people and they don't even recognize the importance. Now, I could ask this question. You all here. I could ask this question Sunday. Those are not here. They're going to say that. Right? Why are you acting that? They're not going to know what the incarnation is. They're not going to know it. You got it? John 1:14. Now, I want you to read that verse, not tonight, but I want you to read it on your private time. Just read John 1:1-14 and get an understanding. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And when you see the word became flesh. That's the incarnation. All right. You got that. Now I'm going to pray a short prayer. We're going to go to Luke chapter 11 again. Luke chapter 11. Father, let your name be sanctified and your kingdom come. Amen. And that's the first aspect of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And that's what I asked him to do. Now, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, I found out in this 11th chapter there's three or four aspects of prayer. But we see the disciple says here in chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying, Jesus is a prayer. I want you to get the picture now. In a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Then you have another aspect of prayer in this. Then the Lord taught in 58 words, the Lord's prayer. He taught them, you know, when you pray, say, Our Father. Three verses in 58 words he taught. The whole spectrum of prayer that John knew nothing about. He just did, he just went on and taught them, started teaching them his way. They asked, as John taught his disciple, John could not teach his disciple this because John didn't know the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we ask for less. And here tonight, you're going to the school of prayer with the master. And there's a lot of things I'm going to say. You're going to need to write. You're going to need to think. You're going to need to pray. You're going to need to ask the Lord to help you. In that verse, and then in verses 1 through 4 is proper prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer that you can pray properly. In verses 5 through 8, in what you call persistent prayer. Persistent. Over in Ephesians 6:18, He says, pray, watch and pray. And he talks about perseverance, pressing. So verse 5 through 8 is he told a parable, and he talked about persistent prayer. In verses 9 and 10, I labeled as the process of prayer, asking, seeking, and knocking. Each of those statements is a level. And then in verse 11 and 12, there's provisional prayer. Then in verse 13 is the greatest promise of prayer. In verse 13. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to go along with me and catch a hold of this, because traditionally it will not mean nothing to you. And when I say the word wealth, don't take me to money, just money. And I teach about money, but all spiritual wealth is hidden in your prayer life. If you learn how to pray properly, you'll be able to make withdrawal from a supply that is unlimited in life every day. Now, I'm going to jump ahead of myself, because you need to know the outer skin of prayer. The outer skin of prayer is intercession, praying over your affairs, and I'll get to it. But there's something more deeper than intercession and praying for your affairs, and I hope we can get touching tonight. So let's teach or study on taking your prayer life to another level. How many don't mind that? Taking your contact, your communication with God to another level. You're going to hear some terms that you're going to have to bite on and chew on. Because when we talk about taking our prayer to another level, here we pray ourselves into God. We pray till we find ourselves into God. After you pray yourself into God, you're ready to receive him and his riches. Spirit of God said to me, says, spiritual stumbling is because of a lack of prayer, and people stumbled in life. You listening?
Yes.
Prayer, properly prayed, I'm going to teach you how to properly pray, lifts us into the unlimited company of God. Prayer lifts us into the unlimited company of God. In other words, God become your prayer partner. There's a dual level of prayer. Is God and man praying together? A dual level of prayer. And in prayer, in his highest form, we recognize, receive the Holy Spirit as our life supply. We recognize and receive it, the Holy Spirit as our life supply. Stick with me, because you're taking your prayer to another level. Now, you're asked to pray, and you're dealing with the master prayer here, Jesus. You can get so much so concerned about the loaves, the fish, and the egg in prayer that you never pray. The loaves, the fish, and the egg, the necessities of life, can tie your prayer life up and you'll never pray. Your prayer must touch the Holy Spirit. And then the eggs will come by the dozen. You'll probably get some chicken too. But our prayer lives are egg, bread, and fish prayer life. We always want something. And the reason we in want like that, we never prayed. Don't get upset now. Because I'm talking about a higher prayer life. We've been praying about, you know, in verse 5, I think it is, about the loaves. And he said, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves." He looked for bread. Lend me 3 loaves. And then in verse 11, he says, "If a son should ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for fish give him a serpent? Or if he should ask an egg, would he offer him a scorpion?" No, he'll give him what he asks for, but you got to give him what you ask for. You keep asking for eggs, I got to give you eggs. You keep asking for fish, I got to give you fish. You keep asking, let me make it to next month. I got to let you make it to next month. So you want the Lord, you have to get to the position in this type of prayer level, you have no need praying. You go to Philippians 4:19, just said that. That's right. My God supply all my needs. I mean, you're just there. But we've been plagued with lack. We've been plagued with limitation. We've been plagued with religious sermons that we're asking for what God already provided for us. How many of y'all ready to go to another level of praying? And boy, you really can pray when you don't have no need. You're praying for somebody else's need. And what we really need is not praying for them so much to get out of debt and all that. We just pray for them, Lord, to see who they really are and what belongs to them and let them make claims on it. And nobody can stop it once they know how to make claims on it. Are you following me? So in teaching Jesus, then if you look in verse 13 now, it take you to another level. If you didn't even know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, look who he give. Give the Holy, when you get the Holy Spirit, you got the whole supply. See, give the Holy Spirit. So now, because of a lack of understanding of prayer, there have not been a whole lot of action for the Holy Spirit. It's for the eggs and the loaves and the houses and whatever, a jacket or whatever you want, you know. But I'm just telling you a level of prayer. Now, don't y'all hold shotguns on me here tonight, because I'm breaking up ground here tonight. Because if you want to go to another level in life, if you want to go where pastors sent to lead you, you need to pay attention and make the changes, and don't get no spiritual stuck here, because the bread, the eggs, and the fish belong to you. Once you get the supply of the Spirit right, everything else got to fall in place. Yes. Yeah. Let me say it this way. Praying above the world level. Because actually the church praying on the world level. The world got need. They all holler about need. But if we understand God properly now, let me start taking you farther and taking you faster. Farther and faster. Now I want you to have this term. Prayer enable us to receive the life supply of God. Life supply cover everything. Cover the bread, cover the anointing, cover everything. Because that type of prayer touched God, touched the Holy Spirit, and touched the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Godhead become responsible for that person who can pray that way. So I want you to say this with me. Lord, teach me to pray at another level.
Lord, teach me to pray at another level.
Say it again.
Lord, teach me to pray at
Say it again.
Lord, teach me to pray and never
die. Now, here's a statement that you're going to have to hear. We're dealing with Luke 11 and 1. The disciples asked the Lord to teach him to pray. Jesus was a master preacher, and a master prayer. We're talking about prayers that just was not prayer would touch the hand of God, but prayers which touch the heart of God. Once you pray and touch the heart of God, God's hand fly wide open. And we have had, because of the lack of contact and communion properly, we've had a lot of hand praying. We're praying for God to open his hand, help my job, help my business, help my Lord, help my body, help me. And all that's good within itself, but if you just touch the heart of God, everything will start happening. That's at another level. Real praying is more about contact than request. Boy, y'all sure robbed me tonight. Y'all just thinking deep. I don't know what y'all are doing. Real prayer is more about contact than request. Once you make contact, you ain't going to have no requests. Contact, and this comes to my spirit now, contact is a prescription filler. Once you get there, he already know what you need, see? He said that in Matthew 6, he already know your need. Take no thoughts for tomorrow, it's sufficient to the evil thereof. Say the bird don't sow nor reap, but I take care of them, the lily in the valley. But the church has been degraded to a lower level of living. When we should be moving mountain, we're pushing down anthill and getting bit at the same time. We got to get rid of that. Not prayers which touch the hand of God, but prayers that touch the heart of God. Real praying is more about contact than making requests. If you make contact, that's it. See, if you make contact, for instance, you know, the two powerful scripture there is about this is John 15 and 7, and 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and since you didn't know what the incarnation is, go to John 15, 7. Because, see, I be thinking y'all know all this stuff. Go to John 15, 7. Get those two opening. And 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Because I want to explain it. Real prayer is about contact. It's more about contact than making requests. See, John 15, 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's contact, you see. Then he says, go ahead on, act what you will, and it'll be done for you. Why? The request now is based on the contact. The contact is not based on a request. So when you make a request, it's not making proper contact, because Jesus said, first of all, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you act what you will. So it's contact first. Contact, and watch this now, contact and co-laboring. Actually, when you get it right, it's God praying to himself. About, watch this now, about what he already wants to do. He pray for you through you. You get over in 1 John now, 5, 14 and 15. You see what it says? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything called in his will, how, where that come from? How can I be assured that I'm asking something according to his will? Back in John 15:7. See, if you try to pray without the word, you're going to be unbalanced. Prayer must be co-inhabited with the word and you and Jesus. Now the Lord spoke, and here's what this higher level of prayer, this is a prophetical statement he made to me as I was praying and studying for this, and after I went over a few of these statements and meditate them. Your prayer had to get to the point. That was 1 John 5:14-15. I'm about to say something about it. Without a shadow of doubt, I'm on the right route. Your prayer had to get to that point. Without a shadow of doubt, I am on the right route. And that's 1 John 5:14-15. See, that's what he's saying there. Exactly what he's saying. This is the covenant we have. If we ask anything according to the will, he hears us. If we know he hears, we know we have. See, without a shadow of doubt, I'm on the right route. And you have to, that's another level of praying. When you are truly with God properly in your prayer life, you have what you call divine assurance. Yes, and it's so, oh, it's sweet. It's sweeter than honeycomb. I mean, you can't get afraid. In prayer reading, and you wasn't there Monday night, you don't know what I'm talking about. So, but in praying the scriptures, and I was praying, and the enemy came. And I'm going to show y'all because he visited all y'all. Yeah. And he tried to give me something to think about or worry about. Yeah. He tried to bring up some issues for me to. And I heard, clear as day, I got that. Almost like another man walking in the room said, as soon as the enemy said, wanted me to think about a certain thing and get me off the jaw of the Lord and what me and the Lord talk about, the Lord said, I got that. And a divine assurance came on me, and the enemy left. May you hear him. The next time the enemy brings some ill will thought to your life, what are you going to do? May you hear him say, I got that. He will say it, you know. And I mean a comforting and a peace and a joy came over me instantly. And it was so strong, Satan left the room. It's because you know who we are. So I want to remind you back in our text in Luke 11:1. Go back there because we're dealing with two levels of prayer. So now I understand there are different levels of prayer. There's different levels you can pray in. There's higher levels and lower levels. And to a large degree, the church has been left in a lower level of praying. For a long time, we just prayed to our Father prayer. Didn't even know it was a model prayer. It wasn't just say word for word. You're supposed to stop and get the benefits out of each statement in the prayer. But we just prayed to our Father and went to bed. But you are in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Amen. That's all we knew. That's what they taught us. But it actually was a model prayer. I think when Larry Lee had a fall, but when he came with the revelation and many other men about the Our Father prayer, I taught it a while in this church because it was so much more than we had. Now, right in that text in Luke 11:1, When the man asked, the disciple asked the Lord to teach him how to pray, it's not that they had not been praying. He saw something. He saw Jesus praying on another level. And then he didn't catch that level because he went on to ask for a lower level. He said, teach us as John taught his disciples. That was a lower level. He just should have said, Lord, teach us how to pray like you praying. But the Lord is merciful, you see. So as John taught his disciples, it's a lower level of prayer, praying. Jesus actually taught us co-laboring with God in prayer. Where you get in God, God get in you. I'll say it later on, but let me say it now. God's anointed intention get in the inside of you while you're praying. And when God's anointed intention get on the inside of you, you already got the answer. Because now you're going to answer himself. Look at Luke 11 and 1. Just look at it a minute. And I'm going to say, I'm gonna bully shoot four or five things till you hear from this verse. Your desire to pray properly must be birthed on the inside of you. You can never pray properly by formula prayer or by copying somebody else's prayer. This thing has to be birthed in you and live in you. And that the Holy Spirit can take you in the presence of God. And you learn how to get closer and closer. Draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to you. You know it's personal. So it has to be birthed. It can't be so much rehearsed. It has to be birthed. I remember the Baptist church, we rehearsed prayer. No, prayer has to be birthed in you. Birthed in you. If you ever taste it, you will never eat from the other restaurant again. As far as you're concerned, if you ever taste this, they can shut the other restaurant down. They can shut these traditional prayers down, these man-made prayers down. They can shut them down because you're going to develop an intimacy with God, and you're going to find yourself praying with God's hand on both of your shoulders. Now, in my prayer life, it's one of the places he touched me, on my shoulder. My prayer, you know, I get all broken up. Then I can't do nothing too much, because he didn't show up, and I feel so like my daddy. My daddy was a big man. He's going home to be the Lord, but I remember sometime he put his hand on my shoulder, and when God, his hand heavier than my daddy's hand, I know that's him. You know. Now, here's another thing. May I call your children?
Yes.
Children. The only way you will really learn how to pray is when you recognize the spiritual value of prayer. And you see, we know somewhat about praying, but we could not recognize the spiritual value of prayer because we have not realized to the point that prayer is God getting in you and you getting in God. And the highest type of prayer is asking God for nothing. When you're really praying, my brothers and sisters, you're not asking, you're telling. You're not asking God for nothing, you're telling him what he's going to do for you. See, y'all scared. No, you'll get that close with him. And you know him. You know what he wants you to say. And you're not saying it by yourself. It's you and him together saying it. And so now God talking to himself through you for you. And the devil can't put no human grease in that. Because it's God, it's spirit to spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit and your recreated human spirit come in contact that close that you thinking like God, talking like God, and praying like God. That's what Jesus did. Jesus had no unanswered prayer. And Jesus never waited for no answer. Listen, I want every Christian to hear this. Those here, you by internet, I want you to hear this. The prayer life of Jesus and Jesus' style of praying is available to me if I'm willing to pursue it properly. In other words, in natural vernacular or clear statement, I can pray like Jesus. You go to the Bible and find him praying. Full of confidence. Just calling things just like, yeah, it's okay. Father, I know y'all, he don't pray with his eyes closed either. Y'all shut your eyes. I know we shut our eyes, try to shed all his mess up, but Jesus prayed with his eyes open. Father, I know you always, his eyes were turned to, I know you always hear me. I got to study in Luke 11 and 1, and I was told to ask you this question. Do you have any imagination of listening or eavesdropping on Jesus talking to the Father? That's what those boys were doing. Those boys, that boy, when he asked the Lord, teach us to pray, he was eavesdropping. And he heard something and he saw something. Now, where we lose it, where we lose ground at, we think the time when Jesus was here is better than now. It wasn't. You see, if I just could have walked with Jesus, you're walking with him now. You see, it's a better time than when Jesus was here, because Jesus was on a journey, you remember. He was on a journey to your spirit. He has arrived. So now you can listen to him pray all the time. You read the scripture. You read in the 17th chapter of John. You see him praying. And you can hear him. You can eavesdrop on him. Watch how he pray. Pray like him. Stop praying like them. Pray like him. Them been praying. We're actually talking about a supernatural prayer life. Tell you the truth. Because Jesus had a supernatural prayer life. See, Jesus prayed the supernatural on the scene of the natural. That's why dead folks got up. That's why blind folks was able to see and deaf folks were able to hear. And people who couldn't talk were able to talk. Because Jesus prayed the supernatural on the scene. Now, we the body of Christ, he the head. That's why he said the work, John 14:12, the work that I do shall you do also because you're him. We the body of Christ. So we have Jesus is Lord, and Jesus will do the same thing now through you as you see him do in the book. Why? That's why he called us the body of Christ. He wanted a continuation on what he was doing through the church, but the church got so disorganized and so religionized and so traditionized and just started a mess. Men took over. The fivefold ministry couldn't do what God called them to do for men and women who was contrary. Just messed the church up. The administrator running the pastor, all kind of stuff. Some of y'all don't like me to talk about it, but it's the truth. It's a dog barking at midnight. Can't see nothing. But the church should be able to see, man. We should be flowing and glowing and enjoying the benefit of the kingdom and the covenant and Jesus and the blood and his name and the gift of the spirit and the fruit of the spirit and have prayer. We know it. Bam, we got an answer just like that. Should be able to do that. So I say this. Do you have any imagination of listening or eavesdropping on Jesus talking to the Father? That's what we got in Luke 11:1. But then I said this to you in my prayer time. I can tell you what it like. I've listened in on his prayer. Here's what his prayers like. Here's what your prayer has to become. His prayers are totally committed to the Father's will. I eavesdropped on him. I've eavesdropped on him. Not only the disciples in Luke 11:1, Leroy, I eavesdropped on him many times. And I'll see what he's... what his aim is all the time. He's totally in his prayer life. He said, Lord, not my will. This thing rough. I can't hardly handle it. When he got ready to go to the cross, he said, Lord, this thing getting heavy, but not my will. Is there any way possible you can do anything? But if you can't, I want to make sure I stay in your will. You see, a lot of time, improper prayer, we ask for things out of God's will. You see, what happened, God had the children of Israel doing good on with judges. But somebody saw a king. And they kept pressing God. You have prayed yourself into some things you don't want. I know I have. And prayed yourself right slap dab in the middle of something. Oh, God, when I got this, I don't want this. You kept asking for it. And God haunched your answer, give it to her. Let her have it. You kept using the name Jesus and the blood. That's why we need to, listen now, it's very important, Clad. We need to be word-orientated in our prayer life so spirit and life can get on our prayer. That if our prayer need to be corrected, if we're asking for the wrong thing, the word will change it. Then it'll set it up where you can get, every time you get exactly what you want. But you see, we pray what we see other people with. Give me one of them, Lord. And the person said, you can have mine. You really know the truth. Ain't good as you think it is. Take mine, man. You have to pray. Yeah, take it. So, with a combination of you abiding in the word and the word abiding, you can't get away from John 15:7. It brings a commitment to the total will of God. Then you go back to 1 John 5:14-15. You happy now. You know you got an answer because you haven't prayed a copy prayer. Somebody told you what they prayed. Now you praying that thing. You're going, no. All your prayer going to be originated from God. The Spirit has unending insight on prayer. So you really don't have to go through a formula. The Spirit of God will make a form on the spot for you. Give God the glory. Because sometimes I wonder who people are praying to and what they're praying about. They stay in the same rut. They're not making no progress. What the hell going on? What in the hell is going on? They in the same spot. What? I mean, hell got a hold on them some kind of way. When you talk to God, man, properly, there are going to be some changes in your life. You're not going to stay in the same condition. Thank God we're about to move. That's what it's all about, see? And then I know, see, you need to be in the spirit when you're praying, because this is what I heard. Your flesh is always looking for a mess. Your flesh, don't you ever forget that. Your flesh, I don't care how nice a person you think he is, you give your flesh one break, he's going to find a mess. Keep it under the arrest of the spirit, and you will have rest. I guess prophetically God was speaking this to me. Your flesh is always looking for a mess. Keep it under the rest of the spirit and you will have rest. The Father's will, I just say it this way. The Father's anointed will, the Father's anointed intention, and the Father's anointed purpose must be in your prayer. You must know all that before you even start praying. What's your will, Lord? Then he'll give you the word. See, your word will show you the will. Now, in Luke 11:1, let me say it again. The request here is below the prayer life of Jesus. Because in those 58 words, the Our Father prayer, Jesus brought in a new dynamic of praying. One aspect, Father, let your name be sanctified. And the whole spectrum of the thing is, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's it. That's it. Anything you're asking for, see, because the kingdom of God is within you, and because you live in a kingdom lifestyle, when you pray, you are calling for the kingdom or heaven to be on earth. Rearranging things supernaturally for you. It's all going by so fast, like one of them rabbits be running when I'm shooting at him. Jesus says, slay, kill, and eat. Tell me nothing about no poor little rabbit. Ain't nothing about no poor little rabbit. The Lord said, kill him. Let me give it to you again. In 3 verses and 58 words I wrote, Jesus outlined prayer at its highest level that any man had ever prayed. You got that in verse 2, 3, and 4. Our Father which is in heaven. But see, if you just pray that as a formula and don't know the Father and don't know the kingdom and don't know how quick to get forgiveness, because y'all like to rehearse stuff to the Lord. Y'all mess up and then y'all get the Lord 9 pages of what you mess. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, I messed up. Forgive me, please. Yeah, I'm wasting. Because the Lord don't feel like being here in all that. He know you. Y'all in a whole 45 minutes confessing and telling God, I did this, I did that. Lord, I did. Lord said, please get to the end of the line. Now just ask me to forgive you. Y'all know what we do. Lord, I said that wrong. Lord, I said, just ask the Lord to forgive you. Now, I'm probably going to have to close here, but Barbara know, my secretary know, I have all kind of information, and I go to something else because I'm just always studying. May the Lord help me to come back Wednesday night and teach this lesson, finish this lesson. I get to praying and reading. But I want to show you this before I close. Here's a master key to pray effectively. To pray effectively, turn to Matthew chapter 16. To pray effectively, you must really know Jesus and who he is. Pray effectively. Because prayer is in the realm of revelation. It's not in the realm of the flesh. Prayer is spiritual. And so to pray, you're going to have to really know who Jesus is. You can't be guessing. And so there in Matthew 16, you know, they start to guessing. Jesus asked, who do men say I am? It's all right if somebody outside and most traditional people don't know who he is. I've seen traditional people come here, didn't want change, sat here 2 or 3 Sunday, and couldn't handle it. Could not handle it. You know why? They wanted, and they wasn't getting it. See, when I first started teaching, lady said, poor little boy, he did a nice job there, a little nice little talk. Because they were used to the other way, you see. And person, sometimes people can't handle it. Like y'all sit and listen and write notes. And I saw a man one time, he was looking, what are they doing? Because they go to church without a Bible, and they just, you know, just tell them what you won't tell them. Tell them the frog had a gun in his pocket. And somebody shout and fall out. Let me hear Matthew 16. Some of y'all came from them kind of church. Y'all can just set your eye like y'all been up. I'm a word pushing me. Yeah, you've been hollering at, screaming at, spit on, just like all the rest of us. Matthew 16:13. This is a text that they preach for church anniversary. I've done it myself and didn't know what in the world I was talking about. So let's put this in our notes. To pray properly, You're going to have a revelation of Jesus, a revelation of the Spirit, a revelation of God, and that revelation is in His Word, and the Holy Spirit got opened up to you. Here we see, when I talked about the days of heaven on earth or the kingdom, things happen on earth as it happened in the kingdom. Here in the 13th verse, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, some said that thou, John the Baptist, nope. Some Elijah, nope. And other Jeremiah, nope. Or one of the other prophets, nope. Then he goes in verse 15. And there's a shift here now. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Oh, my goodness. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the appointed one. Thou art the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Thou art the Christ. Now, look where he got it from, though. And Jesus quickly knew where he got it from. See, when you pray that, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bajama, for flesh and blood don't even know this, has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now, here we go to verse 18 and 19. Here is where a real prayer life take on power. That's why I say you have to know this. This is my last. To pray effectively, you must really know Jesus and who he is. And you can't know him unless the Holy Spirit supply the revelation. And listen, when I'm talking about knowing Jesus, I'm talking about infinitum. I'm talking about no end. I'm talking about consistent revelation. I'm talking about inexhaustible. Stay alive. Like my friend Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. See, because it got so many channels yet. That's why I'm pursuing, and I asked God, I said, let me live long enough to get a little more. It's so much. God is so much. We've got caught up in rituals. He's real. Christ Jesus lived today. You want to know how I know he lived? Have no business having no need for 15 years. You have no business being in that same market fight that the world fighting in. You God child. Proper channel has been opened for you to step in and make the supernatural work. You're a supernatural child. You have supernatural privileges. People don't want to bring themselves, don't want to bring church to church because they don't know what church is. That's a stirring when you get among other members of the body of Christ. There's a carpet anointing that something start happening that can't happen by yourself. I was glad when they said to me, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." Now I know my brothers and sisters are going to be there. Well, I'm weak, somebody else strong. I got to close. Lord. So these two verses, look at them. And I say unto thee, verse 18, thou art Peter, upon this rock, the rock of the revelation, I'd build my church. And the gate of hell ain't going to hold nothing back from them. That's what he said. The gate of hell shall not prevail them. And then he said, return and say in verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys, K-E-Y-S, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, or whatsoever you want bring on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. That's heavy, 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 heavy hang over our head. The keys can be used in prayer. You know, one of the old sayings you said, I'm going to close, one of the old sayings they used to say, my head is wet with the midnight dew. That's an old saying. That dates some of y'all. Some of y'all don't know it. But I want to say in a way, if you ever get wet with the Spirit in what I'm trying to share with you, oh God, you're not here by accident. You hear God want to take your prayer to another level. Once you learn how to pray and how to really make contact with God, you're almost praying always. I find myself driving the car. I want to pray. I start praying, you know. And sometime in the middle of a conversation with somebody, I want to pray. So, oh, Lord, would they shut up? I mean, I'd rather talk to you. They ain't saying nothing. You know, but you gotta be human. If you stick with me through these series, you're gonna be able to pray. You hear what I say? You're gonna know how to pray for yourself. Always calling somebody else to pray for you, and this spiritual person, you really spiritual yourself. And so, we're aiming to take our prayer to another level. Now, listen to this tape. Meditate these notes. Meditate the scriptures I've given you. Keep feeding on the word. Stay with John 15:7. You abide in me, my words abide in you. 1 John 5:14-15. Read it over and over again. Get it down your spirit. Pray, read John 15:7. Pray, read with your eyes open. And just keep saying, if you abide in me, if you abide in my words, abide in you. He's going to say something to you. I got two pages Matthew's 11:28, where he said, come unto me, all you that labor. I got two pages off of that. I got two pages off, come unto me. I never got no further than the prayer. Amen.